It starts out, chapter 5, with the blesseds, or the Beatitudes, as they're known by. You ask, what is a Beatitude? A Beatitude is very simply Christ-like attitude. So we have nine Beatitudes here, and there are nine attitudes that we as Christians ought to take in order to be Christ-like. Some refer to this passage as the constitution for the kingdom of heaven. Jesus came, offered to the Jews an opportunity to set up a kingdom on this earth. They turned him down, crucified him, and that kingdom was set aside, and the church age came in. At the end of the church age, when the church is raptured, there'll be 7 years of tribulation, and then Jesus will come and rule and reign over the children of Israel during the millennial reign of Christ. And he will set up his kingdom, a kingdom that'll never be destroyed. The kingdom of heaven is physical. It talks about the actual reign of Christ on this earth. Don't confuse the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Most Christians today don't see the difference in the two. The kingdom of heaven is physical. Christ is ruling over the church and the children of Israel over the earth during in the millennium. The kingdom of God is spiritual. And we, as Jesus Christ dwells in our heart through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are part of the kingdom of God. Don't confuse them. Many issues are dealt with in this discourse. The Lord takes an issue and he speaks about what they have been told and gives them the better way. You'll see the phrase, ye have heard, many times. And after that phrase, you will see the better way, but I say. And Jesus straightens out many, many things during this passage. But he starts out in this passage of Scripture by stating that you have to be something before you can do anything. He starts out in chapter 13 with, ye are the salt of the earth. Now, this passage of Scripture, we use not necessarily an interpretation. The interpretation is for the Jews and the kingdom. But the application goes to our church and our church family and every Christian. You and I, as children of God, have to be something before we can do anything. We have to have salvation through Jesus Christ and his shed blood before we can do anything for God. So many try today to be religious without Christianity. They have no salvation. It all starts with salvation. Once the Holy Ghost indwells us and empowers us, we can be something and we can do something for God. So I want to read, starting in verse 13, Matthew chapter 5. Ye, that is the plural, so that includes all of us. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Father, we ask for your blessing on the reading of your word this morning and on those of us that are here. We thank you, Lord, for the scripture that you've given us. We pray for our pastor and his family as they vacation for a few days. But we ask, Lord, that you speak to our hearts today through your word. Give us what you would have to give us out of this passage. We know, Lord, that Each one individually has different needs. We ask, Lord, that you meet those needs this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes what God doesn't say needs to be noticed. You ever notice that? God doesn't speak on some things, and you need to notice that. There's some things in this passage of Scripture. Now, we see something very common here. We see salt. I don't think there's anybody in this room that doesn't understand what salt does. There's probably nobody in this room that has never picked up a salt shaker and salted their potatoes. Some of us use too much. Some of us may not use too much or use enough. And if we don't use enough, we have problems too. Salt is to be used wise and sparingly. But what Jesus did not say in this passage of Scripture, he did not say, you are the pepper of this world. Do you notice that? Didn't say anything about pepper. There's a difference between salt and pepper. See, you learned something today. Notice the size of the holes in the salt shaker and the pepper shaker. One of the things we used to do as ornery kids was to switch the caps on the salt shaker and the pepper shaker. And we'd watch the old people. You all know what old people are. That's people like me. We would take that salt shaker and we'd try to get some salt out of it. It didn't come, and we'd bounce it on the table a few times and try it again. And we didn't realize we'd been put in the trick bag. The salt needs a little bigger hole to come out of than the pepper does. Salt has a different consistency than pepper. We know, all of us know people that have a peppery nature. You ever run into somebody like that? I don't care what you say, they take offense to it. They are touchy. You've got to count your words and mince your words and bite your tongue and everything else when you're around them, because it doesn't take much to set them off. They're contentious, sometimes stinging and fiery, and sometimes very difficult to get along with. And too much pepper can make you that way. A little bit of pepper makes things interesting. I wouldn't give you a nickel for somebody that didn't have a little bit of pepper. We all need a little bit of it. We all need to take exception at some things. But every action does not demand a reaction. And we need to pick our wars and our battles. We also know that pepper doesn't work with everything. Now, we could sit down in the ice cream store and order a big bowl of ice cream and say, give me some pepper. I want some pepper on my ice cream. I have never heard of anybody that put pepper on ice cream. Now, probably someplace, sometime, and somewhere, somebody has. I had a cousin that he used to think it was just delicious to have chicken gravy on chocolate cake, but he had some other odd features too. I've never known anybody that put pepper on pie. I don't think pepper would help out apple pie one bit. Pepper has its place. I've never seen anybody take a hot dog and salt it down good with pepper. It just doesn't happen. And I think the reason for that is that pepper calls attention to itself. If you have pepper on something, you taste the pepper. You know that it's pepper on there. If your food is highly seasoned, you know that. Salt, on the other hand, calls attention to the food. Old gospel preacher by the name of Vance Havner used to say, he says, don't be a noodle. They said, what do you mean, don't be a noodle? And he says, noodles are nothing by themselves. Noodles have to have something to go with. Stand on your own and be the kind of Christian you ought to be. Don't be a noodle and write on somebody else's Christianity. A noodle by itself is pretty tasteless. But you can make a noodle pretty tasty if you put salt on it. Potatoes, being Irish, I'm a little particular about my potatoes. Salt really helps them. Salt brings out the flavor in them. It makes you say, hey, these potatoes are good. And it's not really the potato, it's the salt that brings out the flavor in the potato. You and I as Christians, we are not called to bring attention to ourselves. Our job is to be transparent. We are to let Christ shine through us. We're not the ones that need the attention. It's our job to make somebody else look better. Help bear somebody else's burden. Help show other people our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus did not say, you are the pepper of the earth. Jesus also didn't say, you are the sugar of the earth. Do you notice that? Sugar and salt are not interchangeable. If you haven't figured that out yet, what you need to do is try a couple spoonfuls of salt in your coffee in the morning, and you'll figure out that sugar and salt are not interchangeable. We have a tendency to use more sugar than we use salt. We sometimes dwell too much on the sugar part of Christianity. And there's nothing wrong with the sugar part of Christianity. But it's contrast that makes sugar interesting. If you go into a Chinese restaurant, you can order sweet and sour pork, sweet and sour this, sweet and sour that, sweet and sour dog, sweet and sour cat, and all the other things that they have in the Chinese restaurants. But it's this contrast between the sweet and the sour that makes it interesting and it makes it a good meal. If you eat a meal of nothing but sweets, you get up from the table and you're all sticky and you just have that taste in your mouth and you need something to rinse it out. Because you need a balance in what you do. You need a balance in what you eat. Not all sour, not all sweet. We all know the adage, you can catch more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. And we talk about that to justify the fact that we need to be sweet, and we need to be loving, and we need to be caring, and we dare not show any salt. But if you realize what catch means in that phrase, catch means kill. You can change and put the word kill in there. You can kill more flies with sugar than you can with vinegar. We have a problem in the spring of the year with, I guess they're gnats or fruit flies or something like that. And I don't know where they come from. But all of a sudden, these little tiny insects like to congregate. So my wife has found a cure for that. She takes a certain type of dish soap and apple vinegar, and she puts it in a little bowl and puts a slice in the top, and that attracts them. They get in there, they can't get out, and they die. And that problem, all gone. We have succeeded in catching and killing the gnat. The problem with that, the church uses sometimes too much sugar. The problem in the churches today that we see is a new contemporary movement. They've gone away from the King James Bible. They've gone away from the hymn books. They've gotten into the love ministry. They've practiced a come as you are, seeker's ministry. You come as you are and you leave as you come in. They never give an invitation, an opportunity to get saved. You never hear the plan of salvation. So we have righteous sinners. Sinners that are self-righteous and existing in their own good. And it's because of the sugar in the church. Too much sugar, not enough salt. We need our sugar in moderation. Some Christians today, and you've seen them, they're spiritually diabetic. When I get around somebody that's happy all the time, I get a little nervous. That's not life. Life is not a bed of roses all the time. We have our highs and we have our lows. We have our mountains. We have our valleys. We go through trials. We go through some joyous times. But that's life. And somebody tells me that their life is perfect, something's wrong. Something's wrong with them and their thinking. They've got too much sugar. We need our sugar in moderation. All of us need a little bit of sugar. Sometimes a right word at the right time can sweeten a bitter experience for ourselves and others. There's not a person in this building today that hasn't, isn't, or will go through a trial. We're not immune, none of us. Sometimes you don't know what to say. Sometimes just saying, I love you and I'm praying for you is all you can say. Sometimes just a smile or maybe just a touch and silence is the best thing that you can say. It just depends. Sweetness is not a substitute for saltiness. Not even for gospel singers. I like gospel quartet music. I have never seen a sad gospel quartet singers. And yet they have the same trials that we face. They have the problem with alcoholism and things like that. Singing the gospel music, traveling the world with a big smile on their face, 10 foot wide. Their world is not only always full of sugar either. But sugar is something, though it's not a substitute for saltiness, we need to take some. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a time to laugh, and there's a time to weep. We need to enjoy and appreciate both of those times. We have the opportunity to spend both of those times, some time both in both of those places. Sugar, the sweetness, it adds some joy on our journey. What did Jesus say? He said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." We all know what salt is. We use it every day. Salt is a preservative. Salt keeps things of value from spoiling. I can remember my grandfather never had electricity. Never had electricity on the farm. They did everything by hand. They milked by hand. They had lanterns for lights. They went to the barn in the wintertime with a lantern. And when they butchered, he had what he called the summer kitchen and a table in there. And he would put the hams and the bacon and the pork and the other parts of the pork out there. And he would cover that with salt. And he would make up a mixture of stuff. You know, he'd put salt and brown sugar and this and that and the other thing in there. Cover that stuff all over, throw a cheesecloth on top of it, and it just sat there. You say, well, wouldn't that rot? No, had salt on it. Salt was a preservative. And lo and behold, come breakfast time, in a few weeks, you had some of the best tasting ham and bacon you ever tasted in your life. But it was preserved. If something goes bad, it's a preservative's fault. We either didn't put it on right, we put on too much, we didn't put on enough, or the preservative had lost its value. Do you realize that the church exists more for the world than it does for itself? If our goal after we got saved was to get to heaven, the Lord would take us home the moment we got saved. But that's not the case. Because there are others around us that are not saved. And how will they hear the gospel story unless we tell it? We are the salt of the earth. We show others the value of living for Christ. It's the life that we live that speaks louder than anything that we say about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One thing we learn about salt, salt does its work by close contact. You can have a salt shaker on the shelf and potatoes on your plate, and it won't do any good to the potatoes till you take it off the shelf and put the salt on the potato. It's got to reach it and touch it. That says a lot about our Christianity. How does it work? I don't hear the salt. Of course, there's a lot of things I don't hear anymore. But salt works silently. It works gradually. The salt works inconspicuously. It doesn't stand up on top of the potato and say, "Hey, look at me, I'm working. I'm changing the taste of this potato." Never does that. It's the quality of the salt, not the quantity of the salt, that counts. And that's the same with Christian. It's our quality, not our quantity, that counts. You may think that the tract that you left has never done any good, but you never know what that little tract will do. Like the fellow said, preaching the gospel, and he says, "I'm preaching because I got tracked." He says, "I found this little piece of paper and I picked it up and I read it and it started tracking me." And he says, "It tracked me out of the bar, it tracked me into a job, it tracked me into Bible college, and now it tracked me into the pulpit." So that track does a lot of tracking. You never know what a track or a word will do. Salt has a very strange composition. Do you realize that salt is square? Sugar is round. Pepper is round. Sort of flaky. But salt is square. Salt rubs against something and it irritates it. It agitates it. Salt is made out of two things, and that's sodium and chloride. Sodium chloride is salt. Chlorine, where we get our chloride, is a deadly poison. Sodium by itself has no saving quality. But sodium chloride is salt, and it's the best preservative that we can get. That talks about our Christian character. Christian character is faith and works together. You can't have one without the other. Faith without works is death, just like chlorine gas. Works without faith has no power to preserve like sodium does. Faith without works is death. Salt makes the tasteless very tasty. And that's what we're to do. We're to make the gospel of Christ very tasty so people will sample that. Potatoes and noodles, gotta have salt. Can't exist by themselves. But you know something? Salt never changes corruption to incorruption. If you've got a piece of bacon there, piece of fresh pork that's starting to rot, and you put salt on it, it's still starting to rot. The salt will keep it from rotting further, but it won't bring it back to where it ought to be. All it can do is to keep it from spreading. We can't save anybody. I've heard the term, and you've probably heard it. Somebody says, well, that preacher saved me. No, that preacher didn't save anybody. Only Jesus saves. Jesus also said, ye are the salt of the earth. He didn't say the salt of the world and the light of the earth. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. And it talks about our earthly blessings that God has given us. We use the material things that God has blessed us with to influence the spiritual. When you take that bag of rice down there to Marietta College, you're feeding a bunch of Filipinos that are going back to their country to spread the gospel. You're using the material things that God has blessed you with to influence the spiritual. What we give to missions, the things that we do like that, are the spiritual, the material things that God has blessed us with, and we're to use them in the service of God. We render salvation possible by hindering corruption and by melting the coldness and healing the wounds that the world has put on them. How do we do that? First of all, by living separate and holy lives. People need to take a look at us, our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers. They need to look at us and say, that person is different. There's something different about that person. We need to stand forth as different. We also render salvation possible by taking a stand against corruption. Christians, you need to stand. Worldliness, drugs, alcohol, Hollywood morals, all these things, we need to take a stand. It doesn't do any good for the work of God to be a doormat. There are things that you need to stand for. Now, every action doesn't demand a reaction. You need to pick your battles. But when the right thing comes along, stand up. Take care of it. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. Light is illumination. We've got lights here in the auditorium. It enables us to read, to see what we're doing, to see one another. Light is positive. Come in this morning, you turn the light switch on, you can see everything in the room. It's positive. Salt is negative. When you put salt on something, it starts preserving. It holds it at the state that it's in. Salt says, don't do. We need to use our salt. We need to teach our kids, don't do. It's all right to let them grow. You know, it just, I've lived too long. But when somebody tells me that their 4-year-old doesn't want to do something, oh, my 4-year-old doesn't want to go to church, so we don't make her go to church. Since when do 4-year-olds have enough sense to decide what to do, what not to do? We as God's people, as parents and grandparents, need to learn the word don't do. Salt says don't do. Light says this is what to do. The negative is there. We need to teach the positive. We are not called to save. We are called to shine. Saving belongs to a pay scale much higher than ours. Only Jesus saves. There's nothing we can do to bring somebody to Christ except show them the way and light the path. Your salt preserves till the light can shine in and souls are saved and lives are changed. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Father, we thank thee for this passage of Scripture. Help us as salt to preserve what is around us, to preserve what's left of the goodness in this earth. Help us to take a stand against the evil. Help us, Lord, to shine forth the light of Jesus Christ in this sin-sick world. Be with our pastor as he takes a much-needed vacation. We pray, Lord, he'll come back rested and refreshed. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll take a short break and see you in about 20 minutes.